In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Far too many Christians misunderstand love. It's almost like a license for them, a get-out-of-jail-free card. They can live as they please without anyone ever correcting them. You can't judge me because God loves me. What they are saying is this: sin is no longer sin if it makes me happy. So love is anything that makes me happy, while anything that hinders happiness is sin. It's all about happiness. God is love, and so God wouldn't want you to be unhappy. So if you're unhappy with the things that God has given to you, get rid of them and get new things. If you're unhappy in your marriage, get a divorce. If you're unhappy being pregnant, get an abortion. If you're unhappy with your gender, switch. And they diabolically use God's name to back their claims. God loves you for who you are. It's blasphemy. It destroys love. It destroys the God who is love. It destroys the gospel, and so it destroys your very salvation. God ceases to be the one who justifies the sinner in Christ, and is instead turned into your boyfriend, willing to agree with you on anything just to avoid an argument. When we think about him, we want those warm, fuzzy feelings. When he thinks about us, we want him to have the same. We love him dearly. And so it's really no surprise while many Christian songs you hear on the radio feel more like they were written for a boyfriend, both in words and in style. They want a God who validates them, a God who makes them happy, even as the disciples wanted a God who validated them. Sin had blinded them. They loved Jesus dearly. They knew he was God. They knew he was the Messiah, but they did not understand why he talked so much about his death. They wanted God to conform to their views and to give them happiness in the land of Israel with David's son ruling over Jerusalem forever. And then he came and flipped their whole world upside down by speaking about his cross. If the Son of God had to die such a wretched death, that means his followers will not have happiness here on this earth, for no servant is above his master. That means that they are just as bad, even worse than what they thought. And so they are silent. They are filled with grief even when our Lord spoke of his passion. They did not understand, but they remained silent, even as our Lord marched right on to Jerusalem to show his love for them. If love is about making a person happy here on earth, then Christ has died in vain. But it is the blind man who sees clearly and cries out. They tried to silence him, but he cried out all the more. He knew the Lord, the Son of David, was near. He was on a journey toward a cross. He believed, and so he confessed. It's a cry of desperation. And yet it's the simplest form of faith, the simplest prayer of faith. He didn't want God to validate his life. His life was miserable. He wanted a Savior God who would step into his misery and pull him up out of it. He didn't want a boyfriend God who makes him feel good about himself, for he was unlovable and he knew it. He wanted a God, a divine King, who would crush Israel's enemies and restore him to the glory before the fall. He wanted a God who suffered, a God who bleeds, a God who dies, a God who demanded nothing from him but gives everything to him. And when he opened his eyes, that is the God that he found. So Christ opened his eyes. Your faith has healed you. Faith clings to the blessings of Christ. And faith joyfully follows Christ, even as he goes to his cross. Love is sacrifice. Love bleeds, love dies, love is disfigured, love empties itself. Love takes your place. But even we get caught up in this happiness idea. that it should be our right to have happiness here on earth. And so anything that gives us happiness is good, while anything that destroys that happiness is evil. And since your happiness, what makes you happy, is different than what makes me happy, then we do not need to agree on the same thing whatsoever. So love becomes entirely subjective. It's somewhat logical, but it's not scriptural in the least. And it doesn't even play out well in this world. We have to learn to love the teacher or authority who criticizes us, and sometimes harshly. We assume that they're mean because they hurt our feelings, yet often they are the best ones for us. While the teacher or authority who showers us with praises for the smallest of things, we love automatically. We want people who validate us, people who love us for who we are, people who agree with us, people who make us happy. And while this is fine for our relationships to some degree here on earth, it does not work with our relationship with God. We cannot have a God who just loves us for who we are. And yet we often want him to simply do that, to accept us. We want him to make us happy, not to judge us, but to speak kindly to us. We want him to have warm, fuzzy thoughts and feelings toward us so that we can return the favor. We love him dearly. And so we also get a bit confused why he talks so much about his sufferings and death. It seems to be in every sermon and every hymn that we sing. And they're not always the easiest to listen to or the easiest to sing. They don't create those warm, happy thoughts in our hearts when we sing about his sacred head covered in blood and full of wounds. They don't always give us happiness when we view his body hanging on a cross. We don't like it because we don't want to admit that that is how bad our sinful flesh really is, how desperate we are, how hopeless, how helpless. We don't want to admit that we were completely unlovable and God just couldn't accept us as we are, as we were. If love is about making us happy here on this earth, then Christ has done a terrible job at it. But faith sees things rightly. Faith cries out for mercy. Faith confesses our desperate state. It is the simplest form of our prayers. Lord, have mercy. Help must come from outside of us. Healing must come from outside of us. Strength and hope must come from outside of us. We are nothing more than helpless, desperate sinners, blind to the ways of God. We cannot fix the economy. And oftentimes we cannot even fix our own lives. So we pray, Lord, have mercy. We cannot control the direction of countries or reconcile nations. So we pray, Christ, have mercy. We cannot take away our sins or make ourselves lovely in God's sight. So we pray, Lord, have mercy. We will not be silent. We must confess. The worse the situation, the more we cry out. We don't want him to validate who we are. We don't want a boyfriend God. We want a savior God. We don't want warm, fuzzy feelings toward him. We want a real salvation. We don't want him to pass us by on the road and simply tell us to smile and be happy. Everything will be okay. Everything is not okay. We are not okay. We want a God who dies a real death, a horrific death, because we really are that bad and our life is that rough. And only that sacred head covered in spittle and oozing in blood can help us. Lord, have mercy. So he stops and he calls you forward. And then he says to you, I have gone up to Jerusalem. And everything that was written by the prophets about the Son of Man has been fulfilled. I was handed over to the Gentiles. They mocked me. They insulted me. They spit on me. They flogged me. They killed me. And yet I did it all for you. And on the third day I rose again. This is love. Not that we love God and have tender feelings toward him, but that God loves us and laid down his life for us. Love is objective. Love is concrete. Love is disfigured. Love bleeds. Love dies. Love is physical. You can see it as he hangs on his cross. You can hear it as he cries to his Father. You can touch it as that blood spills out of his side over you to make you lovely. He will not validate you or love you for who you are, but he will cleanse you with his forgiving blood and make you lovely in his sight. He will not tell you what you want to hear, but he will tell you of his forgiving death yet again. He will not always give you happiness here on this earth, but he will always love you to the end. As a sign and testament of his enduring love for you, he feeds you with his own body and his own blood. And so the accusation leveled against us Lutherans is true. We love to talk about our Savior's death. We can't get enough of it. It doesn't always make us feel happy, but it is always our salvation. And we are in good company, because this is what the whole Christian church, indeed the whole hosts of heaven, love to talk and sing about. They can't get enough of it, for it alone is the source of healing for sinful beggars like us. And since we love to talk about his death, we love to receive his absolution, we love to receive his Holy Supper. It is our joy and our delight, for this is how the Lord, the Son of David, comes to us this day. Here he heals us. Here he opens our eyes. Here he pulls us out of our misery. Here he gives himself to us fully and completely, withholding nothing, but even clothing us with his very own blood. And since he is coming to us today, then he must be alive. And so here, in word and sacrament, as we gather here with two or three, our God who has died is present, alive. Here we celebrate the resurrection. And we pick up our crosses and follow Christ, even as he went to his cross. That doesn't mean our lives will get better the moment we walk out of these doors. They may get far worse. It doesn't mean we will see the good that God is working everything out towards in this life. Oftentimes we don't. But he will always love us. Not like a boyfriend, but like a husband. A husband's love is a sacrificial love. He gives himself fully and completely to his wife, withholding nothing from her. Everything he does is for her, even if it costs him everything he has. And so your dear husband, your Lord and Savior, does everything for you, even this day. He gives himself to you physically, mentally, and yes, even emotionally. You are the desire of his heart, even as he is the delight of yours. He is your joy and gladness, and you do often have those warm feelings when you think of him. You are the apple of his eye, and your love is warmed by his love. Through word and sacrament, he ignites your love for him and for one another. So yes, there are emotions of happiness. There are feelings of joy that we Christians have. But they are always centered and founded solely on the cross and resurrection of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.